Lord, but we're going to have Shirley come up, and she's going to lead a Bible study tonight. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Oh, praise the Lord. Well, thank God he's with us. Amen. Amen. Kind of just Missy and Sharon and Leslie in that front row. Praise the Lord. But I'm glad God is here. Praise the Lord. Brother Tim is here and Brother Samuel. And oh, we're so thankful for everybody online. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. And I know Sister Sharon has requested that we would pray for her. I believe they are now in Manhattan. And as I understand, they'll be just kind of seeing the sights there in Manhattan tomorrow, and then they fly off to Singapore, the long, long journey on Friday. So let's keep them in prayer. That's, you know, hours and hours in the air, that flight from New York City to Singapore. So, oh my, but thank God he goes with us, amen. He's that friend that sticketh closer than a brother, and he's always with us. So yes, let's bring them before the Lord, and let's bring this service before the Lord, and oh, let's just have a little talk with him. Amen. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you, God, that we could be here tonight, Lord. Oh, we thank you for your precious promises. We thank you, God, for what you've done, oh, Lord, in our lives. Oh, God, that we have that hunger, that we have that thirst, Lord. And I do pray for the individuals that are out there that have a hunger and thirst and don't know where to look, don't know how to perceive, God. Oh, God, have not been, oh, yet brought to the way. I pray, oh, Lord, that you would reveal yourself to them, Lord. Oh, God. Just even, oh yes, those young girls that we spoke with the other day, yesterday, I believe, and oh God, the young guy there at Woodman's, and oh Lord Jesus, I pray, oh Lord, that there would be those that yet give their hearts and their attention to thee, that still seek thee for understanding, and oh Lord, for the marvels of thy word. God, I pray that you'd be with us, Lord. Oh God, be with Sharon in Singapore. Oh God, keep them very safe. And oh Lord, I pray that the long flight back to Singapore would go very well, Lord. There would be no bumps in the road, but oh Lord, that you would take them through, that you would guide them, that you would, oh Lord Jesus, that, oh God, your mercy would be great. And oh Lord, you'd even, oh God, give them somebody to talk to, perhaps about you, Lord. Oh God, in your precious saving name, oh God, you know how to do these things. And we do thank you, the marvel of thy word, Lord. And oh God, what you've done for us. I pray for Magali to his home after, oh, just getting some help there, Lord. And oh Lord Jesus, I pray that you would help her with all her problems, her situations. Oh God, the air conditioning and everything else that needs attention at this moment. I pray that you'd heal her body, Lord, and help her in Jesus' name. Oh, God, you know the needs before we ask. And I pray that you'd give us, oh, Lord, that desire to serve you, to do your will, Lord, to stand up for that which is right. Oh, God, to be a light in this world. Oh, for the remaining moments that we have, Lord. Oh, God, put it within us. I pray that you'd be with your people, Lord. God, you know every need, Lord. And oh God, I believe in you, Lord, for every need, Lord, for there've been many afflictions, and oh God, many needs. And oh Lord, I'm thinking of several individuals, Lord, that were with us. And oh God, those that, oh God, are on the prayer list. And oh Lord Jesus, I pray that you would help us, that you'd move in us, that you'd give us what we have need of, Lord. Lord, also pray that you would be with us here in this service. You'd use this message for your kingdom. For your name's sake, Lord, in Jesus' name, by the power of the blood, Lord. Oh God, let the devil be rebuked in every way, Lord. Oh God, let your presence come down. Give us what we have need of, Lord. Oh God, as we turn this over to you, Lord. Oh God, I pray that you'd give me the words and the ability, the anointing, Lord Jesus. Oh God, the authority that comes from you, Lord. And oh God, I pray that you'd work out every detail in the name of Jesus, that you would speak to our hearts. Oh God, that you'd help us to get ready for that great day of the Lord, thy soon coming, Lord. Oh Jesus, in your precious name, we come to you. We thank you, Lord. We praise you, Jesus. Oh God, let thy praises, oh yes, be heard. Let them come from our hearts, oh Lord. Oh God, for oh God, you inhabit the praises of your people. And I pray that you'd work here in Jesus' precious name by the power of the blood in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. I think I left my glasses in my purse. Could go get them. Oh, thank the Lord. Well, our God is good. Amen. Our God is good. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Boy, you know, in a recent text from Penny, she turned my attention to Psalms 32, and it's pretty much stuck with me, Sister Penny, since you made that mention, and I'm not sure that I'm going to cover the whole chapter at this moment, but I would like to start with the first six verses. This is quite an amazing chapter, and oh my, it talks about the need for the covering, and oh yes, the blood that covers our sins. Praise the Lord, and oh, we're so thankful that we have been able to turn our hearts over to the Lord Jesus. Amen. Oh, I'm so grateful. Praise the Lord. I'm sure you all are for that wonderful moment when God became a reality in our lives. Amen. Oh, thank you, Jesus. You know, who would ever want to look back? The goodness of the Lord and what he does for us, how he keeps us, and oh, how he inspires us and gives us a strength beyond this world. Oh, yes, we are so blessed to know the living God. Amen. To be his children. Oh, there's a lot of people out there that, you know, I know they're walking in confusion. But, oh, thank the Lord. You know, if they will seek God with all their hearts, he will be found. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. And, yes, he has made us to be a light, to go forth and shine that light in this dark world. So somebody out there who's in that great darkness will be able to see, praise the Lord, even a little light that comes from us. Praise the Lord, and oh yes, let that light shine, and let it be bright, amen. Let it get brighter as the darkness goes greater. Oh yes, because oh yes, there's much yet to do for the Lord, amen. For his kingdom, amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay, so we're going to be talking about a covering for sin here tonight. And this 32nd Psalm is a Psalm of David. And I'm sure that David, you know, his life experiences took him to many places. And spiritually, I'm sure they helped him to see how wonderful it is when those sins are not in front of us, when they're, oh, and, you know, on our back and hanging on us, holding us down, and, you know, a very part of our being. Oh, yes, you know, it's a wonderful thing when that has been removed, the weight of sin. Praise the Lord. And we're going to just go into that a little bit tonight and just see how the Lord may lead. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. It begins here, verse 1, where it's written, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered." And again, wow, this is an amazing thing. You know, just from the very start of sin, the onset of sin. Oh yes, the reaction of Adam and Eve was to make themselves a covering when they realized something wasn't right, something was awry. Just to note these details, let's go to the third chapter of Genesis for a little bit. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It tells us here, verse 1 here of Genesis, the third chapter. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And here he is, you know, I don't know how frequent conversations with the serpent, you know, had been there, you know, there with Eve and likewise the serpent. But anyway, here it is. Here's this moment here. And it tells us in verse 2, and the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And I'm not sure that touch was necessarily specified, but anyway, that's how she's relating it here at this moment. And besides, if you got too close, you'd, you know, be apt to be tempted, I suppose, so best to stay quite far away, I would say, as it is with sin. You know, don't let it get in front of your face. You know, stay away. Go the other direction. You know, run for your life. Amen. But here it says, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And so he enticed Eve very much here with his words, and he made it sound very good, you know, to her benefit to go forth and partake of the fruit of that tree. And so the woman, being told all this, you know, in her sense of curiosity and you know, just, you know, see, is this true? You know, she gives it a look. She gives it a look. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. So here it is, you know, they made the mistake, or Eve specifically made the mistake of listening to the enticement of the devil. And, you know, they had been told, you know, very clearly by God that, you know, they were not to partake of that tree. God had told them that in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. So the devil's taken this and twisting it a little bit and adding to it and, you know, just making it sound really good to Eve and, you know, then therefore it would seem so to Adam. So anyway, they went ahead. They got close. They got right to the tree. And you know, if you're told to stay away from something, isn't it wise to, you know, stay away, you know, don't get too close, you know, don't even look in that direction. You know, if that book is evil, then, you know, why go to it? Why look on it? You know, why dwell on it? You know, you don't want to just make something tempting to you that would cause a great sinful reaction. But the woman, you know, just forgetting or ignoring what God had told her, looks at it. It looks good for food. Oh, it's pretty. It's pleasant to the eyes. And wow, you know, Well, the serpent said he would make her wise. So, wow, put all those things together, and she determined she was going to take some. So she did, and she did eat of it. And then she gave also some of it to her husband. And he looked at it, and likewise, you know, he didn't throw it on the ground or, you know, run away from it. He also did partake. He also did eat. And so it tells us there were reactions after this happened. Oh, they had lived in this wonderful paradise. Oh, where everything was perfect. It all had the stamp of God on it. And oh, yes, they didn't have to work by the sweat of their brow. Even at that point, would not have had to bring forth children in sorrow. The ground was not cursed, and you know, briars and weeds were not growing in it. It was a beautiful, beautiful place, growing wonderfully, and you know, just sufficient to feed them well. But now they had done the thing that they were told not to do. And all at once, their whole world begins to change. Tells us again in verse 7, and the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. So the reaction here is, oh my, all at once, spiritually, and you know, they could see and feel and perceive, you know, things that were not revealed to them before. And all at once, they realized that they were naked. And there was an understanding with this that they needed some kind of covering. They were in trouble. They needed a covering. So what did they try to do? They found some fig leaves, I assume pretty good sized, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. So, you know, all at once, yeah, this understanding that they did not have before comes upon them. And all at once, oh yes, there's going to be all kinds of emotions and other things that are not so good that come with this understanding. And it seems like, yes, the first thing they realize, hey, we're naked and we got to find a covering. So they did what came to them to do. And so it continues here in verse 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. So all at once, they have a reaction that they never had. They were so blessed. Oh yes, God would come and walk with them in the cool of the evening every day. And you know, it must have been a glorious thing to walk with God, to be in his presence amongst the trees of the garden. But today it's different. It tells us, and the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? Because, you know, I would assume that, you know, previously they had awaited very eagerly for these moments, the cool of the day, when God would come walking with them and they could have that wonderful fellowship with God. So here, all at once, they have a sense that they need to hide from God. And yes, with that sense of hiding also comes an emotion called fear that comes upon them. Oh, it was never felt before. They never had to bear that before. And so God calls to them. And it seems that Adam answers in verse 10, and he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And of course, God's going to answer verse 11, and he asks, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And so, yes, the curses come upon the earth. Oh, yes, the blame game, you know, begins. And, you know, instead of acknowledging, you know, I made a mistake, and I never should have done that. But, I went ahead and partook of it. And you know, likewise, Eve, if she could have just, you know, just admitted it, but you know, that human tendency to just blame somebody else for the things that go wrong. And so things changed. But what I want us to see here in this passage of scripture here in Genesis 3 is the beginning of fear, the beginning of that sense that they no longer would be able to have that open and wonderful fellowship with God. And then with that comes that understanding that all at once their eyes were opened, or their perception was opened to the fact that they were naked, something that they, you know, had no knowledge of. And of course, it would lead to many, many other travesties and troubles, and their whole way of life totally changed at that moment. Of course, the course of the world changed too, because this was a moment that sin entered into the world. And oh yes, those curses came upon the serpent, the curses came upon the earth, the curses came upon man, the curses came upon woman, and you know, things were never, never the same after that. So yes, immediately they went to look for a covering to try, oh yes, oh, to shield themselves, oh, to cover in reality their guilt. If you could say, you know, that's actually, you know, the depth of it. And so it is, you know, sin came into the world, and like I've already said, it's never been the same. And as we continue, the years that have come to pass since Adam and Eve sinned, man has tried again and again to make a covering for sin. Let's just look here at Isaiah 30 here for a little moment. Here, I'll read some passages. This is Isaiah chapter 30. Praise the Lord. It says here, Isaiah chapter 30, verse 1, Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. You know, oh wow, when you're living in sin, you probably don't want to be too open about it. You know, the tendency is to hide. In the book of John, you know, we're told that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And, you know, that's the tendency, because, you know, they don't, you know, they're trying to conceal what's deep in their hearts. You know, they may, you know, there's some awareness of it, but, you know, you just don't want to, you know, make it too known. And oh, it's so much easier to think, well, everybody sins, so, you know, that doesn't, you know, make me so bad. But, oh, yes, Jesus Christ came into this world to take away sin, did he not? Amen. But, oh, yes, we're told here in this 30th chapter of Isaiah, Woe to those rebellious children that go to other sources, that take counsel, but not of God's word, not from God. And they try to cover themselves with a covering, but it's not of God's Spirit. No, because they want to add sin to sin. It talks more about them, verse 2, that walk to go down into Egypt and have not asked of my mouth to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. And it tells us, therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame and the trust in the shadow of Egypt your confusion. For his princes were at Zoan, and his ambassadors came to Hanes. They were all ashamed of a people that could not profit them, nor be an help, nor profit, but a shame and also a reproach. The burden of the beasts of the south into the land of trouble and anguish, from whence come the young and the old lion, the viper and the fiery lion serpent. They will carry their riches upon the shoulders of young asses and their treasures upon the bunches of camels to a people that shall not profit them. So, you know, you can be despised of others if you're no profit to them, you know, if you're just going to add to shame and be a burden, and then, you know, they're not going to want anything to do with you. But, oh, yes, the Israelites became a problem people because of sin. In reality, it was God who could not bless them when they were living in that realm. When, yes, they were, you know, seeking to cover their sin with more sin. And it goes on here in this 30th chapter. For the Egyptians shall help in vain and to no purpose. Therefore have I cried concerning this. Their strength is to sit still, to ignore. And then verse 8 goes on to say, now go, write it before them in a table and note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come forever and ever, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things. Speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. You know, this description sounds so familiar to our present time. And it just seems like people would so much rather have their ears tickled and be told, you know, something that sounds good and, you know, comfortable, not to take them out of their comfort zone, you know, and not to hear, you know, just anything too hard. Oh, yeah, so, you know, to the prophets, to the seers, you know, don't really see, you know, don't really prophesy, you know, to the prophets, just say things that sound good, that are, you know, right sounding, you know, smooth things, easy things, even lies, even deceits. And then, oh my, it tells us, get you out of the way, turn aside out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. You know, in other words, you know, forget God, forget his laws, forget his thinking, forget the Holy Bible. Oh my, because, you know, we want to live in our sins and in our trespasses and go our own way. Of course, consequences will follow because of that. Wherefore, thus saith the Holy One of Israel, because ye despise this word and trust in oppression and perverseness and stay thereon, therefore this iniquity shall be to you as a breach ready to fall, swelling out in a high wall whose breaking cometh suddenly at an instant. And he shall break it as the breaking of the potter's vessel that is broken in pieces. He shall not spare, so that there shall not be found in the bursting of it assured to take fire from the hearth or to take water withal out of the pit. Oh yes, the consequences of sin. And we read more of them if we turn to Isaiah chapter 59. Let's just go here for a moment. Isaiah chapter 59. Here it tells us, as we look at verses 1 and 2, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear." And so here we see the detail, a very important detail. God does not tolerate sin. God does not bask in sin. You know, if you're going to live that lifestyle, if you're going to bask in your sins and run that road, then, oh, he's going to hide himself from you. Oh, yes, you're going to be separated from God. And that's the underlining thing here. Sins, our iniquities, oh, God forbid, separate us from God. And those sins, oh, they make it so God hides his face, that he will not hear. So, yes, there are severe consequences for sin. But praise the Lord for those that will come to the Lord Jesus and admit their sins and get right with God. Amen. So going back here to Psalms 32, again, David, and you know, he went through many struggles. There were times when David had to repent. He had to get right with God. So, yes, I'm sure he knew about the weight of sin. But thank God, I believe that David, king of Israel, had enough sense to know that he needed to turn those sins over to God in repentance. And as we know, repentance means that, oh, not only are you sorry for those sins, those transgressions, but, oh my, you want to abandon them. You want to get far from them. You want to run away from them. You don't want them to be a part of your life. So yes, praise the Lord. Oh, thank God there is one who can cover our sins. And so it's written in verse 2 here, Psalms chapter 32. "Blessed is a man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile." Oh, this is such a beautiful thing. Oh, yes, you know, to impute means to charge for the fault of some detail, some circumstance, or to be responsible for it. In other words, it's, you know, it's out there. You're the blame for it. You know, it's on your shoulders. It's ascribed to you if it's there and, you know, not taken away. So it's a wonderful thing when God takes those sins and buries them in a sea of forgetfulness. And, you know, chooses not to impute those iniquities. And praise the Lord. Oh, yes, thank God he makes us clean. Oh, yes, in our spirit then there is no guile or guilt or deceit, all that craftiness, all that wickedness that we certainly don't want to be a part of our lives. But here the psalmist, who is David, is talking. He's going into the past, I believe, here. And he's talking about a moment when things weren't so right with God. He says in verse 3, "When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Selah." I believe what is being described here in verses 3 and 4 is a period of conviction. When David was fighting And oh, yes, there was guilt in his heart. And, you know, there was a war going on internally in his very being. You know, I just, oh, what to do? You know, how to face this? Should I, you know, I just ignore it and pretend it's not there, you know? And or, you know, what do I do? You know, do I turn it over to God? Oh, my. And it sounds like there's quite a conflict. There's conviction in his heart and on his life, and he's fighting it, and it's not going away. He says, for day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing when God is talking to us, and he's not patting us on the back, but he's chastising us. He's trying to get us to that place where, you know, we can admit the guilt and give it over to the Lord. Oh my, so David is fighting this battle. And obviously he's very uncomfortable in those verses 3 and 4. But praise the Lord, something happens. And oh, you know, we spoke recently of how the angels of God rejoice over one sinner that repenteth. And oh, yes, not only, oh, was that true in the past, but I believe that is very true in the present. Oh, yes, the rejoicing that goes on in heaven. Oh, yes, when a life turns, oh, his or her past over to the living God and true acknowledgement. And oh, yes, with a real, oh, desire to get rid of that burden, that weight of sin. So here it is in verse 5, how the psalmist David is writing. He says, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. And praise the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. Oh, praise the Lord. What a relief. God is so merciful. He is so kind. And, you know, if people could only understand and in giving it over to the Lord, that burden of sin, oh, my, and turning the corner and letting the Lord, oh, yes, have his way. Oh, that there's such a blessing in that. And, oh, such a relief from sin. Oh, yes. So, yes. He no longer was going to hide it or try even to conceal it. Oh, yes. Oh, I'm going to confess that transgression. I'm going to give it over to the Lord. So he says, I will confess my transgression unto the Lord. And thank God. God reacts to that in a very wonderful way. And thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. Oh, praise the Lord. Amen. Oh, what a blessing that is. Amen. How wonderful that is that we can turn it over to the Lord Jesus. And he has such mercy. He's just waiting, you know, that wonderful parable of the prodigal son and how the father was waiting, you know, every day looking down the road for that wayward son. And finally, that wonderful day came, you know, when that son came to himself and came back to his father. And so, oh, yes, there was great rejoicing there. Oh, great rejoicing because that son that was lost, that was, oh, out there doing despicable things, living a riotous life. Oh, yes, harlots and everything else, oh, my, had come home and had acknowledged and confessed his waywardness with a desire, oh my, to be right, and oh my, not realizing that he could be restored to his sonship, but oh my, even just, if I could just be a servant here in my father's household, oh, that will be so much better. But oh yes, the weight of sin is heavy. The consequences of it are great. People might think they're getting by with it, that they can hide it, and oh yes, it is not going to be known, but oh my, one day it will be revealed. For when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, Oh, God will know every detail, every aspect, every thought, oh, every movement, oh, yes, every action that we have done in this life. And oh, yes, we either will be right with God or we either will be condemned. And I thank God we have these moments right now where we can, oh, yes, oh, examine ourselves and see if we're right in the sight of God. And we got this burden hanging over us, then, oh my, help us, oh, help us, God, to turn it over and to confess it and to get right with God. Oh, yes, who so graciously and wonderfully forgives the iniquity of our sins. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And oh, yes, that sixth verse here in Psalms 32 declares, "For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found." Oh, yes, you know, oh, yes, time goes quickly. Moments pass by rapidly. And oh, it is so needful not to procrastinate, to put things off. This is the most dire thing that we need to do in our life. That need to get right with God. Oh yes, to not try to cover and conceal and, you know, hide that which we have done wrong, but oh, to get it out in the open and confess it before God. Oh, praise the Lord, the one who so graciously forgives us and gives us new life, gives us new hope. Oh yes, gives us His precious promises, and yes, even a promise of a great inheritance. Oh yes, praise the Lord. Oh yes, when we come to that place that the Lord hath prepared for them that love Him. Praise the Lord. So yes, for this shall every one that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. He says, surely in the floods of great waters, they shall not come nigh unto him. Oh, praise the Lord, the blessings when we serve the Lord. Oh, yes, when we've turned those hidden things over to God, those things that people try to conceal. Oh, it's such a wonderful thing that, oh, yes, we can be relieved from that. And you know, as people, yeah, we are so blessed that there was one that was so willing to come into this world to forgive us. That condemnation that was heavy upon us, you know, as it tells us in Isaiah 64, verse 6, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away." Oh, we see the progression of sin. Oh, yes, and man in his attempts, oh, to do good on his own, it's not sufficient to cleanse us from sin. Oh, to get rid of that weight, that burden, those transgressions. Oh my. The progression of sin is told to us in James, the first chapter. We could go there to look at this. James chapter 1, verse 12 tells us, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, it's going to be so worth it all to, you know, get through this world. Yes, we're going to have to endure hard things. We're going to have to endure temptations. But oh, yes, oh, we don't want to give in. Oh, yes, we want to overcome, yes, by the grace and mercy of God. And then we're told in verse 13, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But here it is. In verse 14, it tells us, "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed, just as the serpent came to Eve in the Garden of Eden and enticed her." And you know, instead of ignoring him and ignoring what he was trying to entice her with, she got close. She was willing to listen to that enticement. And oh my, see what that evil one, that serpent, was promoting. Oh my, so there it is. "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed." And you know, oh my, you know, she could have looked. It's not wise to get too close, but I mean, if she would have looked and walked away, praise the Lord, it would have been a great victory. But instead, she partook. She partook of the evil thing, the thing that had been forbidden for her to do. And so it tells us, "Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren." Oh yes, you know, the devil is so clever, you know, with his phraseologies, you know, his talkings, his methods, you know, all of those things. He's clever. And you know, he's been around for a while now, and he's, you know, from that very first enticement there in the Garden of Eden, you know, unto, you know, these days, so many thousands of years later, oh my, he's still at it. But oh yes, you know, that lust, when that, you know, enticement was given in, it then conceived. And that conception brought forth sin. And oh my, the sad, hard thing about sin is that when it is finished, it bringeth forth death. And oh yes, this death that is being considered here in verse 15 here in James 1 is eternal separation from God. Oh yes, damnation. Oh, that condemnation. So my, we don't want that to be our pattern. We know that the wages of sin is death, as it tells us in Romans 6:23. But oh, thank God, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So God has made a way out so that we don't have to stay in those sins. We don't have to live in that realm. We don't have to give in, oh yes, and live in that condemnation.
Amen.
Oh, praise the Lord. That is such a blessing. Oh, that one would love us so much that he would come into the world to seek and to save those that are lost. Amen. Oh, yes, to find us, his lost sheep. Oh, my, that needed so desperately a Savior. We were in such a fix. We were in, oh, my, such a bondage, and we needed help. And who could help us? Oh, my, but, oh, our Savior came into the world. Oh, yes, as Jesus, the Son of God. Oh, yes, the flesh of God, he came to save us from our sins. Oh, praise the Lord. Let's look at 1 John, the first chapter, for a few verses here. Praise the Lord. I'm going down to verse 5. "This then is a message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." Verse 6 here, 1 John, the first chapter. "If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Praise the Lord. That's a beautiful thing. Lord, we allow the light to penetrate, to examine us, so that we can see our sin. And then, that realization, that understanding comes to us so that we're not trying to cover it with more sins, with more lies, with more cunning, with more devices. It's considered like a web there also in the book of Isaiah. And Isaiah stated that web is not going to cover. It's not going to cover your sin. It's not going to make you all right. But praise the Lord, the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, yes, his son cleanses us from all sin. We're told in verse 8 here, 1 John, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And that's commonly done, to ignore the reality, not to go to God's word, to rewrite it maybe in your mind, or maybe ignore it, go to other philosophies and books and man's thinking, other religions, anything but the truth. You're going to go that route and say that you don't have any sin when you're walking in it. It tells us we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But praise the Lord, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, that is such a beautiful thing. Oh, with that confession, that comes from the heart, not trying to cover it. But yes, confessing it. So that it can be forgiven. So that it can be acknowledged and we don't have to continue in it. Oh, thank the Lord for God's wonderful plan. His ways, it tells us in Proverbs 28, verse 13, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Praise the Lord, it's pretty simple, isn't it? Man's instinctive way, make light of it, to fool himself. And that's really who you're fooling, yourself, and just ignore it, cover it, make light of it try to prove that you're a good guy and, doing good deeds and, nothing wrong with you, that sort of mentality. But, it's not the right route because God sees it all and knows it all, and it's not at all hidden from God by any means. And yes, we're told in 1 Peter, the first chapter, verse 18, it says, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but yes, it was with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Oh, praise the Lord. God made a way of escape. Praise the Lord, that precious blood of Christ. Oh, praise the Lord that, will cover our sins. When we turn to the Lord in repentance, surrendering to his will, and that willingness to admit our great need and the follies of sin, in which we all walked. We were all out there. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We know that there's none righteous, no, not one. To think that you're without it, you're just fooling yourself. No, Jesus Christ came into the world to make a way that we could escape that condemnation. Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord. And how blessed we are. Praise the Lord. It's a wonderful thing, that Last Supper that Jesus Christ had with his disciples was a precious moment. And we know that there he took the bread, that unleavened bread, and he blessed it and he broke it and he gave to each of them. And you know, he made the point that that represented his body that was to be broken up for them. Oh yes, and then he took the cup. And oh yes, the grape juice, the fruit of the vine. Oh, and he shared that with his disciples. And oh yes, he made mention that that cup represented the blood of the new covenant. Oh yes, the shedding of blood that would bring forth the remission of sin. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh yes, the new covenant that would come forth because Jesus Christ was willing to go to the cross. Oh yes, to turn, oh yes, his self over to the Romans. His own people that would turn him over and want him crucified. But oh yes, he knew in so doing and giving, oh yes, his life, shedding his blood, he was bringing forth a people. A people that would serve him, a people who would love him. Oh yes, a people who would turn from their sins, from their wicked ways, and oh, serve the living God. Oh yes, confessing their sins and willing to get right with God. Oh yes, there was such a need. Oh yes, and thank God there was one who was so willing, oh yes, to come down to this world, taking on the form of a servant, putting on flesh to come to this world to save us from our sins. Oh, praise the Lord. It's a beautiful thing. Oh, yeah. Yes, our God who so graciously made a way for us. Oh, praise the Lord. It was his blood. And oh, yes, turning to Revelation for some scripture here. We realize, oh, yes, that wonderful shedding of his blood, not an easy thing, not an easy thing to behold, not an easy thing to do, but oh yes, the joy that came forth, because in so doing, he was bringing forth his people. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Looking here at Revelation, the first chapter, tells us, as I go down to verse 4 here, John to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne. Oh, praise the Lord. And I believe that's pertaining to God and his attributes. Praise the Lord. And it says, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. That was the price of sin. It was going to take, oh yes, the shedding of blood. And we know under the old covenant, yes, in order to atone for sin, they had to shed the blood of an animal in order, yes, to, you know, have the occurrences that wait to be removed even from the past year. And, you know, it had to be repeated again and again and again and again, because man's tendency was to sin, to transgress, you know. Oh, yes, to go in that manner. But praise the Lord, Jesus Christ came and once and for all shed his precious blood so that it doesn't have to be repeated. He paid the price. And oh yes, it covers our sins. Praise the Lord. And oh yes, the weight of the world, those that would come to him into repentance. Oh yes, John is writing Oh, and saying unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, oh, praise the Lord, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, there's some pretty amazing scripture here in Revelation. And here, going to the seventh chapter of the book of Revelation, we see another thing coming forward here. There, as it follows the sixth seal that is poured out upon the earth. And, you know, it's very something when you look at the description there in the sixth chapter of the book of Revelation. When that sixth seal is poured out there, the 12th verse of Revelation chapter 6, it says, "And lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island removed out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains." Well, why do they have to hide? Oh, yes, because fear has come upon them. Oh, yes, their sins are not covered in the blood of Jesus Christ, and now they are afraid. Oh, yes, they've got a problem because, oh, there is a sense, there is a realization that, oh, yes, the King of Kings is coming, the Lord of Lords is coming. And oh, yes, here they are going to their hiding places to try to escape. Oh, to hide themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. And said to the mountains and rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb." I have a feeling it's a glimpse of the throne of God, the mighty throne of God coming down from God out of heaven. And you know, that realization, hey, it's too late, and here I am. I've got this weight of sin on my back. Oh my, and now what do I do? I've been trying to hide it. Oh, and now I'm trying to hide. I'm trying to hide from God. Oh my, but it says, "For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" Oh my, and oh yes, oh, as sure as I'm sitting here tonight, that day is coming. He's going to come. Most people are not going to be expecting him. Oh, they put it off. They've maybe considered it a fairy tale or whatever all, but oh my, I know it's going to happen. He's going to come. How close are we? I know we see the signs. We see the signs of his coming even right now. And oh yes, Jesus told us, when these things begin to come to pass, look up, for your redemption draweth near, it draweth nigh. And and so it is even now. But here, oh yeah, that sixth seal and all these things, it begins to be revealed, the coming of the Lord and of the need. Oh my, what am I going to do if that weight of sin is on my back and it's not covered by the blood of Jesus Christ? And here it is, before the seventh seal. It tells us in chapter 7, "And after these things I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, Hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads." Oh yes, there was a work of God that had to be completed. Oh, that seal that he puts upon us. Oh, praise the Lord, the Holy Ghost seal that he puts upon us. It had to be, oh yes, on the seal of his children. And it tells us, and I heard the number of them which were sealed. And there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Of the tribe of Judah were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Reuben were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Gad were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Asher were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Naphtali were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Manasseh were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Simeon were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Levi were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Issachar were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Zebulun were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Joseph were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Benjamin were sealed 12,000. And oh yes, it is 12 times 12. I believe this is indicating, you know, completion. The full family of God. Oh yes, now sealed. Oh yes, oh yes, with the seal of God. And oh yes, was it a literal 144,000? No, I say not. There is no way. No, these numbers, 12 times 12, denote completeness. And so it tells us, you know, if you want to know, you want to number these people, well, frankly, you're not going to be able to, because it tells us here in verse 9, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, you see. Oh, these that are sealed, they're also clothed. Oh, yes, they have white robes on them. Oh, yes, we're told. Oh, yes, these robes and linen that the bride of Christ is arrayed in, clean and white. This fine linen is the righteousness of saints. Oh, it's the righteousness that God gives us when we have been cleansed from our sins, when we've been covered with his blood. Praise the Lord, when our lives have been turned over to the living God. Oh, praise the Lord, and here they are, this great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. Oh, the Lamb representing the sacrificial salvation of God, the gift of God, and coming to this world is Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord, as a Lamb without spot or blemish. Oh, praise the Lord. And here we are. Oh, the people of God. Oh, yes, the whole family now together, clothed with white robes. So praise the Lord. Oh, we must have a covering for our sins. Oh, yes, we must come to Jesus Christ. We must get right before it's too late. Oh, praise the Lord. And oh, yes, this family of God has won the victory over sin. Oh, that life has been given over to God. Praise the Lord. And oh, yes, these are the people, oh, the children of God, oh, which we, oh, hope with all our hearts to be participants of, a number, oh, yes, among this great innumerable crowd. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And oh, it's told us, praise the Lord, and all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And it says, and one of the elders answered, saying unto me, speaking unto John, who's seeing this as a vision, what are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came thee? And oh, yes, here comes the answer. And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, as pilgrims, as strangers, we go through tribulation in this world. You know, Jesus himself said, you know, in this world, you shall have tribulation. But he said, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Amen. And yes, he gives us the strength and the power. Oh, yes, enablement to overcome also through that enabling power of the Holy Ghost. Oh, praise the Lord. And oh, yes, there it is, that great multitude. Oh, standing there before the throne. Oh, such a great number that cannot be numbered. Oh, taken from all nations and kindreds and peoples and tongues. Oh, my, standing there before the throne. Praise the Lord. They're not hiding. They're not trying to hide. Oh, yes, like the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man, those that have not been covered by the blood. They are described in the sixth chapter of Revelation. They're not hiding, no. Oh, here we are. We're standing before the throne. Praise the Lord. And we're clothed with white robes, with palms in our hands, praise the Lord. And oh, we're worshiping the Lord and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. Oh, praise the Lord. And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, Amen, amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Oh, praise the Lord. Those attributes, seven attributes. Praise the Lord there. Oh, to our God. Praise the Lord. And oh, one of the elders asks, Oh, yes, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And yes, and I said unto them, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, oh, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, praise the Lord for his salvation. Oh, praise the Lord for that day when we came boldly before that throne of grace. Oh, yes, to admit our sinful nature. Oh, my, to admit our sins. Oh, yes, to know that we needed his blood to cover our sins and to help us to be right. Or yes, for this moment, when it's over, Oh, yes, here we are in God's presence. Oh, before the throne of God, praise the Lord. Oh, with our robes that have been washed and made white. Made white, in other words, pure and holy, without blemish, without spot, despite the blood, you know, that, oh my, you know, that blood purifies us. Oh, it takes away the sin, it takes away the shame, oh my, you know, it takes away, oh my, everything that was on our back, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, yes, we see this in Revelation 19. Oh, yes, as all is coming into play, all the things and the struggles as our Savior comes back to this earth. Oh, praise the Lord. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. Oh, praise the Lord. And yes, we have that description in verse 11 here in Revelation 19. I saw heaven opened. Behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Oh, praise the Lord. In other words, oh, they've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, yes, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, that blood has covered our sins. And it has made atonement so that, oh, yes, we can stand before God. We don't have to go hide in the dens and in the mountains and the caves, oh my, to get away, to attempt to get away from the wrath of God. But, oh yes, so that we can stand before him. Oh yes, pure and clean. Oh yes, no sins upon our backs, but oh, holy, oh God, thank you, Lord, without blemish in the sight of our God, oh, able to worship. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes. Praise the Lord. That blood of Jesus Christ has covered our sins. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, what a joy it is to be right in the sight of God. Oh, yes. To not be in that, oh, yeah, fighting mode, convicted and fighting our sins, but thank God, have given it over and now washed and made pure and clean in the sight of God. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Yes, he made a covering for our sin, the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord, for what you've done. Oh, God, thank you for your ways that are so beyond ours. Oh, Lord, thank you for that eternal plan, Lord. Oh, God, that you would come, Lord. Oh, yes, to make a covering for our sins. Oh, yes, so that all we can be washed in your blood and made holy and made right. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, without blemish and without spot. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, God. Oh, thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, God. Oh, thank you, God.
Praise the Lord. In closing, we are going to open our melodies of praise hymnal to number 270 and sing Nothing But the Blood. 270.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I found I know nothing but the blood.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. God bless you all. Be safe. Have a wonderful night.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.